Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just two verses this morning, verse 4 and verse 5. And the topic is, are you in darkness or light? Are you in darkness or light? In a few weeks' time, what we call daylight saving time, I believe will come to an end. Daylight saving time, what is that? I think as the name suggests, it is, well, an effort to save daylight or to ensure that everyone has more daylight, more opportunity to be out in the times in which the sun is shining. And because of the times and of the seasons, of the fact that there are certain parts of the year where there is less daylight, the day starts later, it ends earlier. And that is the part of the year that we are going into. And so with the shift in the daylight hours, what it means is that it will get dark very much earlier, and the sun will come up later and later. Honestly, that is the part of the year that I do not like so much. It's not the cold itself. I mean, the cold's all right. Sometimes it can be quite pleasant. But the fact that, you know, about 4, 5 o'clock, the sky starts to become very dim, and everything gets dark. I think especially over here compared to Singapore, there are a lot less street lights. And so being out at night, you know, becomes a lot more or less pleasant, perhaps you can say. And also, you know, the sun rises later and later in the mornings. And, well, we just feel a little bit more lethargic. Everything just sort of slows down and everything sort of gets more quiet. I think we all have that general tendency to gravitate towards light and not perhaps enjoy the darkness as much. Now, of course, with technology today, we have lights, you know, we can stay at home, we turn on all the lights, and it doesn't feel as gloomy or it doesn't feel as dark. But imagine how it was back in the time of the Apostle Paul when there was no electricity. Yes, they had lamps, they had fires which they would have to put out at night, but you know it's not the same. You've ever had, you know, power outage, and then you have to bring out your candles, you light candles all around, you try to shine your torchlights, you know, the whole atmosphere becomes different, isn't it? Darkness is something that naturally we do not enjoy, especially darkness without the presence of any light. You're groping around in the dark. Things that in the daytime, like now, everything seems clear and bright, and you can see. You can see where you're going, you can see what's around you. But then when darkness falls, darkness descends and covers everything. It's like this shroud that covers everything, and you can't quite see, you can't quite know, you don't know what is happening all around you. You have that sort of sense of loss, in a sense. Darkness. And oftentimes throughout Scripture, you know, darkness is depicted as that which is negative, unwanted, and is related to sin. Brightness, light, is that which is desired. Light is that which is associated directly with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God. And it is a sphere in which all true believers will gather in. And that is the distinction and the contrast that is presented here in these verses and actually in so many verses throughout Scripture. There is that contrast between darkness and light. And simply put, believers are those that walk in the light. Believers are, as what the Bible here describes, children of the day and children of light. Unbelievers are those that are walking in darkness, that are existing in that realm whereby there is no light shining. It is an unpleasant sphere. It is a place that nobody wants to be in. Right from the very beginning, on day one of this universe's existence, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's how it all began. And there became therefore this distinction and separation between day and night, between light and darkness. And that is how God created this world, that there will be these two distinct spheres, you may say, two distinct parts. There is a time of day in which it is dark, and we call that night. That is the time of the day in which it is bright, and we call that day. Darkness and light. It is either one or the other. And the question, of course, would then be, which are you in? Are you a child of light, or are you a child of darkness? Are you one that revels and enjoys the light, or are you one that is comfortable in darkness? And of course, we are not talking about, you know, the physical brightness, you know, of daytime and nighttime. We're talking about the spiritual state that we are in. Jesus, throughout the Gospels, is depicted as the light of the world. And that is a language particularly taken up by the writings of John. All right, you see that very, very beginning in John chapter 1, as it described the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. From verse 4 onwards, it says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so the coming of Christ is depicted as this light that shines in a dark, dark world. That without Christ, the world is in darkness. And those that are in darkness cannot see or comprehend or know the light. And then it describes John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And who is the light? That is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, when he came as what is described as the light of the world. And he says that he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So I think it's clear what we're talking about. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the light. And everyone that follows him, we will begin to now walk in the light as well. And we no longer walk in darkness. Because darkness is, well, what is represented by, or rather the world is represented by darkness. And everyone that is in darkness is walking in sin. They do not have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shining in their lives. They have not seen, they have not understood the gospel, the truth of God's word. And John continues to speak of that. Right? For example, in 1 John, in 1 John chapter 1, and we'll bring up that passage later on as well, but he says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So there's a very clear distinction that God is light. Everything about him is brightness and light. God represents himself as light in the few instances in which God made an appearance to man. Of course, he had no corporeal form, but there was the glory of God that was represented by, well, light, the brightness of his glory. That is oftentimes how it's described, that God is light, and in him is absolutely no darkness at all. It is all complete brightness. And in contrast to that, of course, is darkness. And that is not where at all God resides, and that is not at all where God exists. God is light. That is the brightness of his glory. And that is where we, as believers, want to be in. And so that is what this passage, or the contrast that this passage brings up. As Paul talks about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the picture that he presents is that it is like a thief in the night. And who does the thief in the night attack? He attacks those that are in darkness. You, of course, you know, shy away from a brightly lit house. It is a house that is there, shrouded in darkness, and that is under the cover of night that the thief can come in and break in and steal. And so, somewhat continuing that picture, he says in verse 4 that ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as like a thief. So who is in darkness? It is, for one, not the brethren. Not the brethren. He's addressing believers. Right? And so he says, as I write to you, I trust that you understand that if you are a true believer, you are not one that is existing in darkness. And therefore, the day of the Lord will not take you by surprise. You are prepared. You are watchful. You are ready. You have your limbs, your lamps trimmed and bright. You are watchful. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, it is hallelujah, amen. And I am there ready to be received up into the clouds of glory. I am ready to go to the Lord. But in contrast to that, those that are in darkness, those are ones that do not prepare, are not ready and not prepared for the Lord's return. They are, as what the Bible here says, in darkness. And like how a thief would come and attack a house in darkness, that is how they will be overtaken. What does it mean, overtaken here? This is the idea that they will be overwhelmed. They will be taken, snatched by surprise, so to speak. Not snatched in a sense where they will be brought up in the rapture, but they are the ones who will be unprepared. They are the ones who will be left behind. That day will, as it were, grab hold of them, overtake them, and overwhelm them. It will be a terrifying time for those who are in darkness. Who are the ones in darkness, simply put, they are the unbelievers. They are the ones who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when Christ comes into our lives, it is like that light is switched on. Our spiritual eyes, and that's again the idea of light and darkness here, right? Our spiritual eyes begin to see the truths. And with that illumination comes the understanding of the gospel, the understanding of the word of God, the understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, what he has done for me, and how I can be saved. And so oftentimes that is the picture given, right, of this distinction or this contrast between light and darkness. There is this sense of illumination in that now I'm able to see. But prior to that, all of the world, the Bible says, by default, we are in darkness. That apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the only means by which our spiritual eyes are open to the truth and able to see God. But apart from that, we are in darkness. And what Paul is saying here is that there are many who are in darkness. And what will happen to those in darkness, the day of the Lord will overwhelm them, overtake them, will snatch them as like how a thief breaks in and grabs and steals, and they are unprepared. That is the default of this world right now. You know, John chapter 3, again coming back to the Gospel of John, it's a very familiar passage, right? We know about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the verse actually continues, and it takes up this language of light and darkness as well. Right, in John chapter 3, and goes on in verse 17, it says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What is this idea of condemnation? This is the condemnation that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, what is this whole passage talking about? Well, simply put, again, it's the same idea that I've been speaking of. The fact that by default, the world is in darkness. And what is this dark world all about? It is the fact that they love the darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And so anyone that remains or exists in darkness is one who, well, for one, does not have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shining in them. But they are one that are very comfortable and happy, well, in a limited sense, but happy in the sense where they are very comfortable continuing on with evil deeds, with the sin of this world. And we have to realize that without Christ, all of us, without exception, are in the state of complete and total depravity. But given a choice, we will always tend towards sin. We will always tend towards evil. We will never, by our own volition, willingly choose God. That is the state of man's sin. That is the darkness of our hearts. Do you realize that? That we are not morally sort of neutral people, that you know, sometimes we do some things that are not so good and sometimes we will tend to do some good things. No. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot help it but to sin. That is the very nature that we have, that sin nature that as we have received from our forefather, from Adam and Eve, from the time that they fell in the Garden of Eden. They took upon them the knowledge of evil and they remained in that state of evil. And if it were not for the intervention of God in sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that light of the world that shines in our hearts, we will continue to remain in darkness. And that's what John here is saying. That without Christ, we are already in that state of condemnation. It is not that because Christ came and therefore we became condemned. No. The world, the whole world at large, is presently or had already been continually in the state of darkness. And men love darkness rather than light. Men love to continue in sin. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And that is consistently what the Bible teaches us. That there is none righteous, no, not one. We will always tend towards sin. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that we are, you know, what the world would deem as, you know, terribly wicked criminals, you know, the ones that are serving, you know, life sentences because of wicked, terrible crimes that they've committed. Sometimes you may say, no, people in the world, they're quite good people, right? They do all sorts of humanitarian aid. They care for one another. Well, to an extent, yes. But you see, no matter what the world is doing, no matter what an unbeliever does, he never does it for Jesus' sake or for God's sake. Whatever they do, continue to remain in opposition to God because they do not acknowledge God. They do not have God as first in their lives. And straight away, they have disobeyed or they have broken the first four commandments of God's moral and perfect standards. And so by that reckoning alone, they are in darkness because they do not have God as first place in their lives. They do not worship God in the way that God has dictated. They take the name of the Lord in vain, or they just completely ignore it. They do not remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And instead, what do? They do lie and cheat and steal and commit adultery and bear false witness. Maybe not in the very acts itself, but in the sins of their hearts. I think we know it. We admit that prior to coming to Christ, that was our life, isn't it? We do not even realize that covetousness is a sin, but yet it is. And so the world continues and remains in darkness. And if it were not for the work of the Holy Spirit, there is no way that anyone would ever believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way that anyone would willingly choose Christ. That is the reality of it. That it is only by the grace of God, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, that he grants us this ability to come out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And that is the grace of God. And that's what we have to understand, that that is the default of the world. That if it were not for the grace of God, all of us, without exception, will still have been in darkness. We will still be like the rest of the world, loving darkness rather than light, and our deeds are continually evil. Because everyone that does sin, we hate the light. We do not come to the light. Because once we come under the spotlight and the searching gaze of God, it shows our wickedness. That is a very shameful thing. That is why, right from the beginning, remember when Adam and Eve, they fell into sin, they took of that fruit which they were forbidden to eat? What happened? They were guilty and afraid. They heard the voice of God. They heard the steps of God walking in the garden. They hid themselves. Why? Because they were afraid. They were afraid to come into the light. They were afraid that to come before God, knowing that in the very presence of God, their sin is exposed and revealed, and there is nowhere to hide. So for that reason, this world is in darkness. Question is, of course, are we still in that darkness? Is that the state of existence that we are in? If all sorts of sins that we do not want to bring to the light, and we are comfortable, happy almost, continuing in a state of sin, not wanting to repent, not seeing any need to repent, very comfortable living a life apart from God. And the consequences of that is terrifying. If you look at what this verse says, that if you are in darkness, now of course he writes to Christians and says, that is not you, but the implication is that if you are in darkness, the day of the Lord will overtake you as like a thief. The day of the Lord will come. And we talked about that last week, that there will be this unprecedented destruction that will come upon the world. Everyone that is left behind, everyone that is not taken up by the Lord Jesus Christ in that rapture will go through this period of terrible suffering. Terrible suffering. It is the time in which the world will be appointed to wrath. They will experience the wrath of God pouring down upon them. The world as we know it will be gone. The Antichrist will rise and he will rule over this world. The false prophet, the world will change. There will be this one world system, but also a whole series of cataclysmic events. Events that will cause the worst of the natural sufferings, natural disasters that this world has ever experienced. The worst earthquakes, the worst volcanic eruptions, the worst tsunamis will be nothing compared to what the world will experience during those 7 years of tribulation. That day will overtake this world in darkness. And they will face the wrath of God as the beginning of the punishment for the sin that they were in. That is what will happen to this dark, dark world, this world of sin. Will we be a part of that day? And I trust that not a single one of us will. Not a single one of us will. Why? Because we are in the light. Who are the ones in the light? Well, verse 5 goes on to explain. And it begins with verse 4. It says, well, who are the ones? You are the brethren, the brothers. And so oftentimes brethren in the New Testament especially is used to refer to fellow believers. Right? Fellow believers, fellow Christians. He says, you are not in darkness. That day will not take you by surprise. But you are the children of light, and you are the children of the day. And so he uses this phrase, children of. And oftentimes the New Testament uses this phrase to describe someone who is characterized by. And so you are a person, Paul is saying, who is characterized by the light. You are characterized by day. You are known as being one who is not in darkness, but you are in light. You are walking in the light of day. You are one who is walking in accordance to God and his revealed will to us, that there is the lamp and the light of the word of God guiding our paths, guiding our footsteps. We are the ones who are prepared for the coming of the Lord, and therefore we walk in the light of the Lord and not in the darkness of the night. And so what has happened in the people who are children of the day, children of the night, children of the light? It is that the light of God has shone in our hearts. Spiritually, Again, we're talking about that. Spiritually, our eyes have been opened. Our hearts have been illuminated to help us to know and understand the truth of God's word. And therefore, there is that very sharp distinction between darkness and light. It is one or the other. There are no in-betweens. There are no shades of gray. There is no dusk Christian or dawn Christian or people who are somewhere in the middle. No, it is either you are in the darkness of the night or you are in the brightness of the day. There is no middle ground. And so he says, you are not in darkness. You are not of the night. You are not of darkness. You are the children of light and you are the children of day. What are you? Well, if you are the children of the light, it means that for one, of course, you have known the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 26:18, and Paul describes the calling that he had, the preaching of the gospel. What does the preaching of the gospel effect? Verse 18, it says, Acts 26:18, and this was his testimony with regards to his call, both to salvation, but also to service. And so he says, now what did God call him to do? To open their eyes. What eyes? Spiritual eyes. To turn them from darkness to light. So we see that. Again, that same picture there, right? And so what happens when you turn from darkness to light? You turn from the power of Satan unto, well, implied here, is the power of God. You are no longer under the domain of Satan, the Lord of darkness. Now you are now under God. And God is light in whom there is no darkness at all. How? That they may receive the forgiveness of sin. All those darkness, the evil deeds that love the darkness are cleansed away from you. And there is the inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. And now you are part of all the fellow saints, the fellow heirs, to receive the inheritance of the grace of God. You have now received sanctification through faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. From darkness to light. That is that transformation that has happened to everyone that is in the light. In that we all began by default in darkness. But we have had our eyes opened. And as how Peter describes it in 1 Peter 2:9, that we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Is that not a glorious and a wonderful thing? Is that the existence that you find yourself in right now? That you can confidently say, I am no longer in darkness. I no longer find myself comfortable in the sin of this world. And I have been called out of that darkness. I am now reveling in the light of God. And I love the light. I love the truth that I now have received. Daily I crave and I desire and yearn to be in the light. To have more of the light of God shining down upon me. To be illumined by his word. To walk according to this light that is shining in the path before me. I love Christ. I love his word. Because one day that will be our eternal existence. The Bible tells us that in heaven there will needs not to be any sun. Why? Because the Lamb of God is in our midst and he is the one that shines eternally for us. That light will be our eternal existence. And right now, as we now move out of darkness into the light, as we become believers in this life, we revel in that light as well. We have been called out of darkness. Our spiritual eyes are open. Now we see, now we understand. Now we realize the darkness of sin and how we used to be. We realize the terribleness of sin. We have repented of that. Our sins have been washed clean, and now we are standing in the light of God. And so what happens to us who are now in the light? Of course, we enjoy the light of God shining in our hearts. We no longer walk in darkness, but we walk in the light. And so our lives now begin to change, right? We turn away from the unfruitful works of darkness, and now we are walking in the light. Ephesians chapter 5 is one of those passages that speak of that. Ephesians chapter 5, it describes this walking in the light. How are we now? Ephesians 5 verse 8. He says, for ye were sometimes darkness. That means aforetime, in the past. That's how we were. We were in the past darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So he speaks about our present conduct now. A present conduct that ought to characterize children of light. How do we see? How do we know that we are now not in darkness anymore? It says it must be evident in the life that you now live. Is distinctly different. Not that we automatically become so perfectly good, but now we grow in our sanctification. Now we are illumined by the Word of God in our lives, and it ought to be demonstrated, ought to be seen. That's what Paul here says in verse in Thessalonians, right? He says, now you are the children of light, the children of day, and you are no longer of the night, nor of darkness. What does that entail? So Ephesians brings this up. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That is what your life must now be characterized by. Righteousness, truth, goodness. You must be able to now shine forth the reflected light of God. And you must now begin to live in righteousness, seeking after the holiness of God. You now reflect His goodness. You are now a person of truth. The truth of God's word is working in your life. You are a person who now represents the truth of God, characterized by the word of God. You now prove and you show, you demonstrate what is acceptable, what is right, what is good in the sight of the Lord. Your life now becomes a light shining, a testimony for Him. And on the flip side, what happens? That you have now no fellowship, no association, no contact whatsoever with the unfruitful works of darkness. But rather, you reprove them. That you harshly admonish them. He says, no longer will I have any association with the unfruitful works of darkness. My life has been changed and transformed. I'm now walking in the light. No longer in darkness. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, in a shroud of cover, in the darkness of night. That's generally when the criminals come out. When people do shameful things, it is in the cover of darkness. And he says, no. For all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That has already happened if you are a true believer. You have awakened out of darkness, you are now in the light, and your attitudes towards sin and darkness must be that. I want to have absolutely no association with anything that is disappointing, a grievous abomination to God. I have turned from that life. I have turned completely. That is the heart of any true believer. Because if you find in yourself that you cast that wistful eye upon the unfruitful works of darkness, you look at the life of sin that you have repented of, you look at the sin of the world that they still enjoy and revel in, and you say, ah, how I wish I could go back there. How I wish I could go back into those days, those enjoyable, fun days. Something is wrong, isn't it? Something is clearly wrong. Yeah, of course, there is temptation from time to time. There are times in which perhaps we may slip and fall. But generally, our stand and our sense with regards to these sins is that yes, we fall, but then we quickly repent because we know how terrible those deeds are. How terrible those, you know, the days of darkness were. You don't want to go back there. And you reprove them, you rebuke them. That's what it means here. And he says, no longer, not anymore at all. I do not want to have fellowship. I do not want to have any relationship at all with any of those sins. No longer. My life is now a life in brightness and in the light of God, characterized by the light. And I now seek after God. I now seek to serve Him. I now seek to please Him in every aspect of my life. It's a process, yes, that whole journey of sanctification, as we seek to walk in the light and no longer in the darkness. There has to be no sin that is too small or too insignificant to say that, oh, yeah, it's just a little thing, just that little shadows here and there in my life. No. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, and that should characterize the children of light as well. That we are no longer in darkness, as what Paul says here in 1 Thessalonians 3. It is not that we are sometimes in darkness. It is not that sometimes there are little shades here and there. No, we are not in darkness at all. We are not of the night. Not at all. Not at all. And so that has to be what characterizes our life, that we are no longer walking in darkness. We are not of the night. We are not of darkness. And notice one little subtle change here in the pronouns that he uses in verse 5. He initially starts off by saying, "You, brethren, are not in the darkness. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day." But as he describes then, he makes a little switch in verse 5. And the second half, he says, "Now we are not of the night and we are not of darkness." And from then on, he says, "Let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober." What is he doing here? As he speaks about, perhaps you can say in theory, of this whole idea of the coming of the Lord and what you are, he cannot help but then identify himself together with them. He says, "I am with you. I'm part of this. I, like you, have been brought out of darkness into the light. And therefore, we together are no longer in darkness, but we are together in the light." And with that, we also have that sense of that as children of darkness, we are collectively together. Sorry, not darkness. As children of light, we are collectively together in the light. And that is a thought that is sort of, a highlight or brought out more in 1 John chapter 1. And that's a passage that we read just now, where it began with the fact that, yes, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. But then it also brings to light the idea of the fellowship aspect of children of the light. What do I mean by that? And it says that if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and that is with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, that means as God is in the light, then what another benefit that comes out of that is that we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's a line there that says, we have fellowship one with another. So another thing that characterizes a children of light, it's not just that we are no longer walking in darkness, we have been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light. We have the light of God shining in our hearts, in our lives, but that now we will also tend towards or seek to enjoy fellowship with others in the light. Fellow believers. Others who have been illumined by the light as well. And that's what Paul here says. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. He brings himself in and includes himself in together with them. And that is a wonderful and a precious thing that we can now all enjoy. Fellowship one with another. And that is one aspect of being children of the light that we must also be able to recognize and enjoy. That we do not walk in the light in solitude. It is that we together are children of the light and children of the day, and what we now have the privilege of is to be able to walk together. That's what John says, we have fellowship one with another. What a precious and a wonderful thing it is. And I trust we have all enjoyed that to some extent or other. Coming together as one body in Christ, as one congregation, as one family, we are able to support each other. We are able to, in a sense, have that reflected light, because God is light, and that light is reflected of us, and we are able to illumine each other also. As we come together for fellowship, as we come together for Bible study, enjoy that light and the presence of the light of one another. And that should be what we enjoy the most in terms of company of others in fellowship. And why is it that sometimes people say that, yes, it's unbeliever, but then they say, oh, but you know, I enjoy the company of my unbelieving friends far, far more than the people in church. And that's a strange thing, isn't it? Well, it's not to say, of course, that we have no friends at all outside of the church or, you know, that are unbelievers. But there should be this certain discomfort when we are in the presence of unbelievers, isn't it? Because if they have, you know, they have completely different values as us. Their purpose in life is completely different. The activities they enjoy, the conversations that they have, even the jokes that they laugh at, it should be distasteful and unsavory to us because they are not of the light. They are walking in darkness and they are comfortable with the unfruitful works of darkness. They are not in the light. But we are in the light. And the things that God hates should be the things that we hate as well. And our purpose, yes, in the midst of, you know, friends that are unbelievers should be to that we are that light shining in their midst of darkness, and we are seeking to turn them to the light as well. Sadly, the opposite is often true. If we are very comfortable in the fellowship, well, we don't use the word fellowship, we are comfortable in the company of unbelievers. Often and not, what happens is that our little light of witness gets snuffed out. We hide that light, we cover that light, because we want to have their approval. And if we were to maintain our Christian testimony, if we were to continue to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will turn away from us. They hate dark. They hate the light. They rather darkness. And so what do? We cover our light in order to fit in amongst them and to be comfortable in that. That ought not to be. We ought to be children of light and children of the day. We ought to shine brightly in their midst. And what we ought to then enjoy, and if I'm most to be most comfortable in, is in the fellow, in the fellowship of other children of light. Now, that is not then to say that, well, it is always a wonderful thing to, you know, come to church and be in fellowship with one another, because sadly, there are those that come here. Now, and by here, I'm not speaking this church in particular, but there are those that come into the midst of believers, and they do not shine clearly, brightly. There are sometimes people that are still walking in darkness, and they come in and they spoil the fellowship. Or there are immature believers that direct us in the wrong way. Or, you know, for whatever reason, there are certain sins that they have not put aside yet. And yes, perhaps sometimes we experience negative things that happen in the fellowship of, well, the saints or in a church setting. But that should not deter us. What we should then do or aspire to do is to shine brighter for the Lord and seek to be that encouragement, to be that presence, to cause others to enjoy this fellowship of the light. That was, you know, John's desire as he wrote 1 John. He says, I want to share this perfect and enjoyable, wonderful fellowship with all of you, because we have experienced that fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we call you into the light and says, join us together to be in fellowship with him. Do not claim to be walking in the light, but yet to be in darkness. He says, you lie and do not the truth. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light. And it means if we are all walking in according to God and his will and in his word, that can be a blessed and an enjoyable and a wonderful fellowship that we all can enjoy. Do we see that? Have you experienced that? In the midst of the children of light and the children of day, we enjoy the times in which we come together and share God's word and speak of spiritual things, to be able to freely encourage one another in the Lord and share some of the struggles that we are going through, knowing that it is here that we can find wise counsel and advice. It is here that we can find refreshment to our weary and tired souls. But yes, in the course of the week, from Monday to Saturday, we have been out there in the darkness of the world. Yes, we have been constantly assailed by temptations. We've been constantly attacked by the wiles of the devil. We've been surrounded by darkness, and now we come here and we find that refreshment because we have the light of God shining. Together, walking as children of light, and then we enjoy the fellowship together with God's people. That's what it means to be the children of the light. But as we are in the light, we are no longer walking in darkness, but we walk and we have fellowship with others who are in the light as well. Is that what we enjoy as children of the light? Is that what we enjoy as children of the day? It is a blessed thing to be counted amongst those who have received this light. And as I mentioned at the beginning, or just mentioned earlier, we are either one or the other. There is no in between. There is no dusk or dawn. There is no shades of gray. What are we? Are we in darkness or are we in light? And if we are in the light, have we cast aside all these unfruitful works of darkness? Are we enjoying the fellowship of others in the light? Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this morning. We thank Thee for this truth that has been revealed before us of how, as believers, as those that have been washed and cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can now be described as children of light and children of day. Help us to walk in the light. Help us to cast off the unfruitful works of darkness, to reprove them, have no fellowship with them, but to now walk in fellowship with others that are in the light as well. We thank Thee, and we pray that Thou bless our fellowship, bless our time together as children of light, as God's people. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.